And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgating partner of the New Orleans Saints. I'm Mike Koss, along with Steve Geller and the birthday boy, who ran to the restroom. It's the only little chance that he had. When you get to be that age, I'm that age. Nature calls.
You got
to
go, right?
You got to go. So it's going to be, man, we got a packed show. I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of the, you know, preseason training camp edition of the Saints Hour up and down on the network. But we're going to talk to Jalen Ford. Boy, what a game he had against Jacksonville. Three tackles, one tackle for a loss, an interception, and a pass defense. And as you had talked about previously, Devin Neal. We'll hear from him. He, you know, at least he's back practicing. It's limited,
right?
But he's missed some crucial time, right? I mean, he wants to be in that mix. And so I think, quite frankly, being it's just Tuesday, I think he does play Saturday. And also Cesar Ruiz, we talked to him because I was just kind of happy to see him at practice. You know, I didn't know with the injury, it looked kind of, you know, when it got rolled up on, but he when I talked to him, he looked at me like I was crazy. Like, what are you talking about? I'm fine. I was like, so good. And then we have a special interview, kind of Ron Torbert, longtime NFL referee. They come to camps and they kind of talk to the media. Hey, what questions do you have about the new rules? And it was interesting. It was good stuff. You could ask him whatever you wanted. I asked him. It was like the Mike Koss presser. I asked him 80% of the questions.
You're like back in school, you felt like.
To the point the Saints said, that's the play-by-play guy. Like, there's a reason he's asking you so many questions. Just because I'm trying to get at least some clarification on, like, the Christian Boyd sack that wasn't a safety, the whole virtual measurement versus spotting. And Deuce had a really good question about double teaming on the kickoff of what is now penalty. Also, the unsportsmanlike, the whole, you know, violent gesture. So yeah, we'll hear from Ron Torbert as well throughout the show. And Kellen Moore is a masterpiece. He should be like a spy, right? Because he can answer any question you want. You can answer 25 straight quarterback questions, and you're none the wiser. And he's not being mean.
He does it with a smile, too.
Right. It's not. I think he just either he's not there, or he wants to see what happens on Saturday, or quite frankly, and this is what I wish he would have said, was like, I ain't telling you.
Right, I don't have to tell you.
I don't have to tell you. And I don't have to tell Arizona. I don't have to tell Denver. I don't have to tell anybody. And I'm fine with that, right? Tell them Sunday before Arizona, here's who's starting. You can prepare for Shuck, and you can prepare for Rattler and Hayner and, you know, whoever. Decker, Hunter Deckers if you want to. So I'm just kind of fine with it, right? I mean, he's not answering. He's not. Either he said it's a very close battle.
Right. Said to the team doesn't even know yet.
Right. But that's what I said. I was like, you don't have to tell us or the fans, but if the team knows, then you're good. Cause then you can work your one quarterback with the ones, do what you want. But there's no, what I wanted to ask, and I tried to ask it, but he'd answer like 15 quarterback questions before. It's like, somebody tell me the benefit
of naming that guy.
Of naming the guy. I don't get it. I don't see it.
For the team's perspective, yeah, but for the media and the rest of the NFL, no, there is no benefit. Like you mentioned, it just gives Arizona Cardinals more time to game plan for that one specific guy instead of both QBs.
Well, I can play devil's advocate, but you know, in a debate class and you take both sides. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Okay, from naming the starter now, why you see like the Browns have named Flacco.
Correct.
And then the Colts are going Jones. What they do is like, okay, because the team sometimes, just the players within, who we got to rally around? Who we have to put the utmost confidence in? So the players, they all watch the film. They know really who should be starting. And, you know, people might say, oh, I can't believe they're not going with the young Anthony Richardson. They're not going with him because they don't trust him. You know, like, I'm not saying he doesn't have a chance to be the future. But the players know, like, if all of a sudden, I guarantee you the Browns players, they aren't surprised they go in with Flacco. Because, a lot, you know, they're supporting guys. They want who gives the best chance to win now. Now, on the other side, I like it to where, yeah, The Cardinals don't know who in the hell is going to be playing. That they got to prepare for two different guys. Because Shuck and Rattler can do very similar things, but they are different. How they even process stuff. I can tell you right now, Rattler's playing with a lot of confidence. What I witnessed in the game, at the end of the game, that last drive, that was most important. The players see this. You know, and then you're making critical throws. Not that Shuck's not the future, but then the future is also now.
Correct, yeah.
So when you look at, I'd be interested to see tomorrow who takes the first team reps in the dome. Or are they going with Shuck? Because today was Rattler, and Rattler was on fire. So I don't know. So I'm looking at like against Denver.
What about Saturday? Like I feel like they're both going to play Saturday.
I think they're both going to play Saturday. And if Rattler does better, like I think he did against the Jaguars, you know, Shuck had the upper hand on the Chargers. So let's say it's a tie, whatever. Oh, they're coming down the stretch. And if Rattler, they can, no matter how they're trying to BS you, if Rattler has the type game I think he had against Jacksonville and is better, then for sure he's a starter. Now, Shuck, then it gets more interesting. I just think when Shuck eventually plays, they want him to play with confidence. I think they might both end up playing throughout the season. I mean, through the season. You know, kind of. I think they don't want. Because, look, it ain't his first rodeo. Look at Spencer Rattler. He's 0-6. Damn, I'm just trying to win my first game. So he ain't going to be overwhelmed how you handle adversity. I think Shuck's old enough now. He's an old rookie that he can handle adversity. But I think they want him, if he is playing, to play with the utmost confidence. Spencer Rattler at times to me just seems more confident. His decision-making and all that. For instance, Tyler Shuck comes in the game against the Jaguars, who went backwards. How in the hell are you going to make 3rd and 30? I'm looking at, we got grounded all of a sudden. There's no plays in the playbook. I don't care if you with Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, you ad-libbing. Oh, that's lucky. In the NFL, if you make a 3rd and 30 and have a sustained drive, that's luck. So when I look at it, that's what Shuck going forward. Now you have to handle adversity, and you need to avoid those situations because it's so much like as a quarterback or even as a running back. If Alvin Kamara, I don't want to hear one fan because I'll be getting on him. If they said, oh, Alvin Kamara can't run no more, he's too. I go, no, if they block for him, he can run. He can hit it and get it, I'm telling you. So I look sometimes, oh, well, the quarterback, he's getting sacked too much. Well, did you see? It was like a jailbreak. They come in 2-3 guys. That's what you want. I don't care who's the quarterback. You got to avoid that. So it'll be interesting. It ain't, no, Rattler's not the starter, but it'd be interesting to see, name the starter, but it'd be interesting to see what happens Saturday against Denver. Because I think Denver's a good team to go against, too. Because I can tell you right now, I'd be shocked if Denver's not relevant. What I mean by relevant, I don't know if they're going to
contender.
I don't know if they're going to overtake the Bills or the Chiefs or the Ravens, whatever, but they're in the hunt.
Right.
For sure. The Saints, we trying to be in the hunt and trying to be. So the Broncos are a way better measuring stick.
We don't play in the AFC West.
Right.
And let's remember, we play in the NFC South.
Yeah, and the Broncos are way better measuring stick than the Jaguars. I mean, the Jaguars won 4 games last year.
It's just hard to tell.
Yeah, preseason.
It's preseason 3.
Yeah.
It's not just preseason 1 and 2. It's 3. We don't know how Kellen's going to treat preseason 3. I got a pretty good idea. I think we're going to see some you know, quarterbacks, right?
Right. He's still looking for
answers. And some defenders. I think we're still going to see some those guys. So I think he's going to treat preseason 3 different than maybe we've seen in the past.
Yeah. I still don't see, like, DeMario Davis, Chase Young.
No.
And even Alvin.
Nope.
There's no question with those guys.
No. Yeah. Keep him on the sideline.
Or even McCoy.
Let him dress out. And then go put the sweatsuits on.
Yeah,
This new thing.
Do the pregame stretch and all that in your pads, then you can get undressed.
All right, take a break. It's the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Steve Geller and Bobby Hebert, brought to you by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. This is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour, brought to you by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, with Steve Geller, sports director, and Bobby Hebert, celebrating his birthday today. Thank you for hanging out on a night with the Saints Hour. And so typical practice today, although they got into their really regular season role, meaning we could just shoot a little bit And then the locker room was open. They didn't bring a bunch of people to the lectern and the podium like they have been doing. So they're into their kind of regular season mode. But I did talk to Jalen Ford. You know, big game against Jacksonville and really a very strong camp. He had three tackles, a tackle for a loss, an interception, and a pass defense. As he's kind of making the move, the evolution from being a special teams player to that as being on this in this linebacker room and relative in this linebacker room. Here's that interview.
It's definitely, yeah, that's definitely kind of that mentality is, you know, obviously I know I got guys in you know, like Double D and stuff to learn from, but it's definitely like you want to improve. You don't want to kind of take a step back. So going on to my second year, definitely just want to work on the things that. And then like last year, I kind of do it a couple injuries, so I didn't, you know, get that many opportunities. So definitely just trying to make the most of the ones that I'm given, and just, you know, continue to grow.
Do you feel like it's been it feels like it's been a progression?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
From practice to games to the last game.
It's a long and hard process, but you know, when you get to make plays out there on the field, it makes it all worth it. So I think that's the biggest thing, is just being able to go out there, and then when I do get the opportunities and make stuff happen, it just makes me appreciate it more.
Take me through the interception, kind of what your role was, what you saw.
Yeah, we were sending a pressure opposite of where I was at. So I kind of just dropped back in coverage, and I think the quarterback kind of stared his route down a little bit. Maybe he read hot from the other side. So I just kind of got in the window, and he threw it. And I just kind of instincts to go over and just try to make a play.
And then that kind of aggressiveness felt like it continued throughout the game. And from a pressure standpoint,
I would say Staley is a really aggressive coach. We were just talking about that. Like, he's really aggressive, but he's really smart. So he knows when to be aggressive and he knows when not to be. And so I think, you know, just letting linebackers blitz, letting us show the same thing we've been doing and kind of switch it up, kind of can affect the offense. And that was kind of one of them. And I was just able to go make a play on it.
And I bet I've talked to 20 defensive guys who go, man, the Staley defense is just fun. I'm like, well, what the heck does that mean, right? That doesn't mean, but it's freedom. Like, is that the ability for you to line up on the left side and you decide whether, you know, am I going on the press or am I dropping into coverage?
So there's so many calls and there's so many schemes that we've, you know, been able to install and kind of rep and detail, and I feel like now it's kind of like everybody can go out there, have fun, play free, and I think that's what they mean when it's like fun is like we're playing really complex defenses, but we're not thinking anymore. We're kind of just going out there and having fun with it, and it allows everyone to make plays. Like Staley does a good job of having us all in there, all three levels, D-line, linebackers, safeties, and we all watch the tape and we all see, you know, the D-line is getting a rush, the quarterback feels it, and now he's throwing the ball out quicker. And the safety gets a pick or the corner, you know. And so it kind of shows you how everybody does their job. One person makes the play, but it all comes together. And so I think once you see that and you see how everyone's making plays because everyone's doing their job, that's what makes it fun.
Last question, and that is half of it, is that it's not a playbook where you're just – if you have to think, you that half a beat, it's too much in the NFL.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is they always tell you is not to think. Just go out there, play fast, be physical. If you make a mistake, you know, you'll learn from it. But don't ever slow down worried about not making a mistake, because then it'll just only make things worse. So I think just going out there and, you know, playing fast.
Looking forward to building against Denver, which you kind of started.
Absolutely. So, yeah, like you said, we had a good second half. But obviously we want to come out come out a lot harder, a lot faster in the first half. So I think that's just our main goal this week is just to start fast and, you know, have that energy going into the game rather than second half.
Boy, he said a mouthful there at the very end, and that goes for offense and defense. That was Jalen Ford, former fifth-round pick out of Texas, who'd been played no defensive snaps last year. And
yeah.
A guy like Isaiah Stallbird, who has also had a great camp, but they want to be a linebacker. They don't want to be special teams, but offensively and defensively, you can't afford in the NFL to wait till the second half. You got to play better early.
Yeah, well, we can't be playing behind the eight ball, so to speak. No, we need to set the tone. And then we'll be in a dogfight. But we got to play catch up. You're going to be catching up, and you're never going to catch up. So that's why we need to get off to a fast start in all phases. And, you know, you look at Jalen Ford, and, you know, not only back-to-back outstanding games, same thing with Stallbird. You look at the competition – He led the team in tackles against the Chargers. He had 8. He led the team in tackles, and that was athletic interception. You know, like high pointed the ball.
And I'm seeing here with Jalen Ford, he racked up 4 interceptions 2022 with Texas. That tied the school's record.
Oh, wow, in a season.
For a linebacker.
Yeah, no, you know, that drop he did, and Nick Mullins thought he had it over his head, and not so fast. it wasn't like right in the gut, like, come on, he has to catch it. Yeah. No, that was an athletic interception by Ford. And then you look at Stallbird. He's kind of one of those hybrid tweeners. He's a really, really big safety, but now he's a linebacker. He's a smallish linebacker. But how he can make the team, and he has a nose for the football. But right now in 2 games, he has 5 special teams tackles. That one, I thought, oh, he's going to hit the returner too soon. And then he timed it perfectly, like bang, bang. And, you know, got the punt returner down right away. And, you know, like I said, 4 tackles in 1 preseason game, 3 unassisted against the Chargers. That's unheard of.
He's been a missile on special teams.
That's like all pro. So now he has 5 to see. What he's going to do against the Broncos, because you know he's on the coverage units. See if he adds to that 5 total tackles.
Put him opposite JT Gray.
Yeah.
And JT's been hurt. We haven't seen him.
Yeah. Right.
But, man, that'd be tough.
Yeah, so you on the back end, you know, I think it's going to be tough for it. And they did pretty good out, you know, in the past and made the team, and he had a knee injury. Nephi Sewell. I think him and DeMarco. DeMarco Jackson kind of struggled as a linebacker. So it'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back, maybe get back in the hunt. Because those are veterans now.
Right.
But
and I've heard Stallbird doing more on special teams even than Nephi.
And yeah, so you can't keep everybody like Ford, Stallbird versus DeMarco Jackson and Nephi Sewell might be behind, you know. When you're cutting, you can't keep everybody again.
Nope. It becomes a numbers game.
Yeah, exactly.
And not even really, as we go to break, it's about who can I put on the practice squad that'll slip through.
Not going to get picked up.
And some veterans, you know, it's a different practice squad now. Veterans can go on there.
Yes, it's not just the young rookies.
That can't be touched. Take a break. This is a special training camp edition of the Saints Hour, the Bullseye Saints Hour, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Hoss along with Steve Geller and Bobby Hebert. Practice today at Saints Camp, practice tomorrow at Caesars Superdome as they get ready for this Saturday noon game. And as soon as we got to practice, everybody's taking roll. And I was happy to see number 51, Cesar Ruiz, offensive lineman, got rolled up on in Sunday's game. And it kind of, to me, looked worse. You know, I just wasn't sure. You never know, but he was at practice today. And so I spoke to him afterwards, and he's fine, as you'll find out pretty quickly.
I guess just initially, it was just great to see you out there practice today. You just got rolled up on. Tell me about what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, it's got rolled up on, you know. I'm all good. Literally nothing. I was good.
Yeah.
You
know, no, it's a good thing.
Like nothing, so I'm fine. It's a little flexible, man. All that yoga and Pilates paying off.
When you look at kind of this offense and kind of how it's started in the first couple of games, and even Kellen talked about, man, just getting off to a faster start, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's an emphasis for us. That's something we have to do as, you know, as soon as the game starts, you know, get off to a really fast start. You know, you saw in the second half or even the second quarter, you know, things started to pick up. So I think it's a big emphasis to, you know, hey, get out there and get things rolling right away.
For fans that know this, but from a player standpoint, when there's no game plan, right, when you're just running plays, mm-hmm. like, is it hard to say, well, evaluate, don't look at the score of the game, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's when you're not game planning, it changes everything.
Yeah, I think it does. I said, when you're not game planning, it does change things for sure. Ultimately, though, when you're out there, though, that's the whole test of preseason. You know, that's really what the challenge is of preseason. And why it's important, because you know, you got to be able to run these plays without a game plan. So see how you do without it, and once you get it, you know, it should be easier.
Instinctively, mm-hmm. and you know, Tyler's a rookie. It happens when that ball comes at you. Instinctively, what is it just you know, what are you thinking?
And
because I mean, it's football, right? I mean, he's just like,
I was like, man, I gotta get on this ball. I didn't know if it was a fumble. I didn't know what it was. So instinctively, I was just like, hey, get on the ball. You see a ball on the ground or it comes to you, I got to get on it and figure out what happened afterwards.
Right, because you don't necessarily know your backs to him, if it came out or if it's a shovel, if it's an incomplete or a fumble.
Yeah, we're just taught that, hey, loose balls, get on them. So
good luck.
Thank you.
He did the right thing. Just get on it. I mean, it's got to feel a weird feeling, an offensive lineman, see that ball coming at you.
Man, all I know is he needs to be Cesar Ruiz instead of Cesar Luis. And we did the post-game host, and they had Scooby. Scooby's giving us a call, and he goes, man, that Cesar Ruiz needs to play like a first-round draft pick. Well, hell yeah. Let me tell you, that's the COVID year. You know, it's amazing how time flies. He's going like into his sixth season. So we need Cesar Ruiz to play like a first round alongside McCoy. You know how we said that needs to be because what we have invested in the draft? McCoy's a second round pick. We've got all these first rounders. Because I'm telling you, that's going to be critical. If you're talking about, I don't care if the over and under in Vegas is 5.5 wins, and you look 4.5, depending where you're looking. For us to really have success and to give the quarterbacks a fighting chance, and Alvin Kamara, whatever.
Yeah.
The offensive line has to kick ass. They can't just be good. They have to be great. And right now, the jury's out. Because against the Rams, Mickey Loomis is ticked off. Everybody's ticked off.
How much of a difference can Eric McCoy make, though? Because we're not seeing him out there in preseason.
Well, he was out there against the Rams. We couldn't run up the middle.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So we need to be challenged. I know they're being challenged in the meeting room. And it's going to be a good challenge, whoever's out there against Washington. You know who was outstanding, Steve? And you send me this. He got graded.
Kelvin Banks Jr., yeah.
Yeah, what was he? What did you? I might look at that. You have that.
Is that Pro Football Focus?
Yeah. What did you have, Steve? Because you sent it to me, and I said, oh, that's very encouraging. What Steve sent me, that the highest graded there pass block and offensive tackle this preseason, Kevin.
Not just rookies.
Not just rookies, everybody.
Right.
Kelvin Banks Jr. Oh, I said, I like that a lot.
That was pass blocking?
Yeah, and said that's going to go a long way. Now, Steve, the other thing you had sent me was top graded Saints players versus Jacksonville. They got Tipton, that like Fuaga. Okay, I like that. Trenton Welch, the tight end, like that great catch. Boy, that was a great throwing catch when you look at that play. So you look at that, you know, it's not pro football. Yeah, Pro Football Focus. When you look at that, it's not end all be all, but it's a good measuring stick.
Sure.
And then you never want to be on this list because all NFL teams, the lowest graded Saints players, some of them, you don't necessarily know. He won't make the team. Molokai.
The seventh round pick.
Seventh round pick tight end? No. And the tight end's not a strength of ours, but that ain't good. So I look at that at best. He may be a practice squad guy. Cam Akers, how he's come back. Colin Saunders. Now he's with the Jaguars.
Ain't there no more, right?
No, we got their center, and they got Call. Now,
glad he graded poorly.
But you know who we're counting on? And Godshaw has to stay healthy. That's not good for Christian Boyd. DeMarco Jackson. You know who else we counting on? Who's the third? Who's the third corner? Whatever. I gave him,
right.
And I like him. You know, the Boston College guy.
Like he's ready.
Yeah, and then Nephi Sewell. So all that, I'm telling you, whether you graded high,
but Ike was like the only starter out there for the defense.
Right, but whether you're grading high or low, that it's not like this is the gospel, but it's a good measuring stick to see when you look at players. And Cesar Ruiz, he's still out there. Because he has to show still the coaches something. They want him to take more of a leadership role. He should be, I'm not saying you got to be McCoy and considered one of the best centers. I'm not even saying you got to be considered one of the best guards, but you can't be a liability. It has to be a strength. Damn it, we worried about the left guard. We can't be worrying about the damn right guard too. So Cesar Ruiz, come on, this is a challenge. Hoss, you need to look. We need that first two drives against Denver. When Cesar Ruiz in there, see if he's winning or losing. We got to see what he's going to do because we need him to play well come week one against the Cardinals.
Let's do this. Let's take the ID. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back with Bobby Hebert and Steve Geller. Again, we finally got to see some Devin Neal at practice. He's been out with a hamstring. He was limited, but it's Tuesday. So I spoke with Devin Neal as he was leaving the locker room today to kind of get his thoughts about getting back to action.
Just give me a sense how good it was to be back out there today.
Oh, yeah, it felt great. You know, I'm not familiar with missing too much time, so it's just feels good to get back in pads and, you know, just get back to work, honestly. So excited for everything's looking up.
And then is it, for you, a progression? I mean, today was limited. Is it just each day?
Yeah, it's just one of those things you don't want to rush into, so they're just being careful, making sure I'm all good. And, you know, everything was great today, so the next step will be tomorrow and amp it up even more and then keep amping up until game day.
Injury you've dealt with before?
No, I haven't dealt with it before, so, you know, it's kind of brand new, but, you know, navigating it, and, you know, I'm glad it wasn't as severe as it could have been.
Do you look at it as a little bit, hey, fresh legs, and, you know, there's a significant amount of eagerness to get out there and show what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, definitely have fresher legs, but I was eager the entire time. I hated missing that much time, but, you know, it is what it is, and now I'm ready to go back to work and go do what I do.
How difficult, because most people don't think rehab, they don't know, or meetings, and you still got to do all that stuff, yeah. And it's tougher to be engaged when you're not doing it, right?
Yeah, it definitely is, but, you know, it's my job to be ready at, you know, any means necessary. So, you know, I was staying ahead of my playbook, staying on the iPad, and, you know, just watching film, and like I was out there running it and just learning and just keep on, you know, figuring out what I need to do to continue to improve my game.
With all hopes to be in there Saturday.
Yes sir. I'll definitely be there Saturday.
Saturday at noon. That has a different ring to it, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Right. Thanks, Devin.
Thank you.
He's used to that. You know, college football, Saturday at noon. I bet he's played most of his game Saturday at noon or Saturday night. I can't think of any time in my life where there's been a Saturday at noon preseason game.
No, as we were talking about that earlier, even, you know, I was playing, I said, now, you know, noon, first off, I just remember preseason like more at night, Friday night.
Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday night.
You play all over.
Yeah, Saturday night. Or even like Sunday night when, you know, we had primetime games, but never like, you could see Sunday at noon, but not Saturday at noon. No, this is a.
Make the most of it.
I can't recall, but.
Yeah, because you got to make your cuts.
Can't have it too late of a Friday night.
Right. That's right. You got to make your cuts. You get that extra day because then you start the clock until September 7th. And so, what the heck?
Well, you know what I remember, because then we were playing four preseason games. I remember that Friday night, and because, you know, I'm going to be on the Weather Channel talking about Katrina 20 years. I remember doing that Ravens Saints game.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was a Friday night, you know, late night game. And then you wake up the next day, and I remember being on the last flight to get out of the MSY airport. They were calling it Mosan. I don't think was it called Louis Armstrong then? I'm not sure. But anyway, to get out on that Saturday morning, and then I was just thinking, the next time I see all these people around the dome,
right.
I was like, man, I was just there. No, it was so surreal. It was almost...
Fun fact, that's the 1 year I had Saints season tickets. Oh, what do you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, you know who was at practice today? Coach Haslett, because, you know, he came to see his son. His son coaching the tight end.
Chase.
He was part of the alumni. Coach Haslett was there hanging out. And he was on that... He was the coach. That was his last year, that 3-13 season.
This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, brought to you by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. Take a break. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Haas with Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, and Steve Geller. We had a treat today at Saints camp because they bring in, they do this usually annually. They brought in Ron Torbert, longtime NFL referee. He, by the way, was the referee for the 2025 Super Bowl right here in New Orleans. He's been a ref since 2014, an official since 2010. Basically, what are your questions? What about the new rules, the kickoff? And I wanted some clarification.
And you know, Hoss, you bring that up, like, okay, because how do you know the official's name? You know who was doing the damn Rams Saints practice?
Bill
the Nolan No Call.
Vinovich.
Yeah, I'm like, no.
No.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yes.
He lives out there, remember? L.A. Rams.
Oh, yeah, so he's doing the practice. So he's...
Bad flashback.
He's on the hit list.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I'm kind of joking when I say that. But no, who you had, Tolbert come? We wouldn't want that cat to come. Let me talk to him.
Yeah, so when I talked to the L.A. Chargers play-by-play guy, and I go, man, did you see Vinovich? And he goes, oh, yeah, our buddy Bill. No, it's the Rams guy. Yeah, he goes, right. Yeah, they call him our buddy Bill.
Yeah.
Not in New Orleans.
Oh, no,
all right,
no.
But this is Ron Torbert. So I wanted some clarification on the Christian Boyd sack safety that they came back and said was not a safety. This is what he talked about first contact and forward progress.
On any tackle, including a sack, the ball is spotted at its forward most point before contact. So any player that gets contacted and then pushed backwards, we're spotting the ball at the forward point of the ball at the time of contact. So if that had happened at the 20-yard line, he gets contacted, driven back to the 17, we're spotting the ball at the 20.
Doesn't, if I contact him at the 20, drive him back 3 yards, he spins out of it, it's still a live play. It feels like that's somewhat disadvantageous to the defense because you don't whistle it dead at first contact.
Well, we whistle it dead when his forward progress is stopped. Yeah. So if his forward progress is stopped and he's driven back and tackled, then he's going to get his forward progress. He'll always get his forward progress. If he breaks free and starts running again, now a new forward progress spot is established.
So let's be clear. Ron Torbert is a smarter person than I am. He went to Harvard Law School. Michigan State. You couldn't hear me. I said, I'm not trying to debate you. I'm
trying to understand.
Right. Said, the goal line's not treated differently than the 20. If that had happened at the 20, they would not have spotted that ball, in my humble opinion, at the 20. If he'd have tackled him, he fell backwards. You're not going to fall forwards. You're not going to fall horizontally. You fall 2 yards backwards, they would have marked it at the 18.
And if they break the tackle, that's the favorite of quarterbacks. Like Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes. Oh, no.
You didn't blow the whistle.
Yeah, you didn't. Exactly.
But first contact, at first contact, the ball was outside the goal line. Perfectly, I get it. Not a safety. But first contact to me doesn't mean a whole lot.
No, that doesn't mean you're tackling him. Come on. No.
We have a lot of first contact sacks.
Okay, Hoss, I think let's say that would have happened against one of our quarterbacks. I would say, well, I don't know. That looks like a safety to me.
Right.
You know, either way. You know, I'm not saying just because of the boy that, you know, that.
That got the play, right?
Yeah, it made the play. If it went like against our quarterback, I said, I don't know. That looks like a safety to me, but.
So,
Hoss, that was a good question. I thought that was really good.
The second thing we talked about is it's going to happen on Saturday, and Saints fans are going to see it, is the new virtual measurements, the chain gang not going out. So you basically just kind of sit there and stare at the sky and wait for the answer. But it's a little different. It's not about spotting the ball. It's about virtual measurements.
Well, the virtual measurement is just measures. It's the same as measuring with the chains. Except they do it with a series of cameras now. It's just used for that purpose. The spotting of the ball remains with the on-field officials, and in certain instances, the spot is reviewable. So as it relates to a first down or the goal line, the spot is still reviewable in replay. And so that may be, that sounds like what you were looking at. There was a challenge to the spot. And so that's reviewable, but those virtual measurement cameras aren't used to spot the ball.
Interesting.
Well, we're not going to use technology. What? Okay.
We're going to use it, but only for in place of the chains. The reason I kind of asked, if you remember Sunday, they had a question about, it was a punt that went out of bounds, and they were questioning where the spot was. And I'm like, well, all right, virtual. See where it went out of bounds. The referee's got to run to the other end of the field and look at the little monitor.
That's when you're slowing down the game.
Right.
No, that's one thing with the fans. Like, you know, baseball, they had the pitch count. Well, in football, they need to get this right and not slow down the game. Because this day and age, the young audience and all, come on, you got to keep the game moving.
It's just going to be, it takes a while, right? So.
To get the bugs out?
For the virtual measurements, because they're measuring, and he will say, this is a virtual measurement. And then everybody's just standing there, right? This would be the time when the chain guys would run out there. We're not doing that now. So you're just going.
Yeah.
Hey, Deuce, how you doing, man? You got any golf plans? Right? So it's a little awkward. I'm sure it'll kind of take care of itself. And the key is get it right.
Yes.
But the key is not always the measurement, But where was the spot? Yeah. Remember, this came up because of the Buffalo-Kansas City game. It wasn't the measurement. It was the spot.
And they have the technology now. You can get it like 100%. You know where the damn spot is. It's the same thing when they did with the clock. Like, you know, they had the line judges in tennis. Is it in or out? No, you can go see. No, that not, might barely. That's on the line. They hit the line, so it's in. So yeah. It's either in or out. So you can get the technology that you can get, and especially with AI now going forward. No, you can get the exact spot.
We don't
spot.
Need AI in the game. Let's leave that out.
But you can get the exact spot, so there's no judgment.
I feel like there's been a ton of criticism around this, though, throughout the NFL.
Because it's too slow. You can't be slowing down the game.
It's not even that. It's just you're not doing anything. You're just sitting there. Yeah. Right? You're just kind of going, oh, it's a virtual measurement.
Well, Hoss, that's when you're going to have to start telling stories. Right? Yeah,
That usually gets me in trouble, frankly. But, I like the chain gang. I mean, I want to get it right, but it's the suspense, right, of going out there and is he going to pull it tight and then did he get the credit card out? Did he make it?
First down, Saints.
And so let's play the last one, and then we'll talk about
You know what's so funny, right quick? Whenever they use the chain gang and there's a wipeout on the sideline, they always have a backup chain and the chain breaks or something. Oh, wait, we got to get a new chain out there.
Yeah, well, we had six officials in the second half because they were practicing that situation. Now, in the regular season, it doesn't matter because they have a spare official, but in the preseason, they don't. So you go to six, and the umpire is the guy they go without. So if you go to six in the preseason, for whatever reason, if you lose the back judge, the umpire is the guy that they move people around. The umpire is the guy that you go without because you got two guys back there. So Deuce asked a question today, and it was about penalties that you would see for double team on kickoff returns. So let's listen to this.
The foul is for a double team block. So the two players that are outside the setup zone, usually it's two players there on the goal line. Those are the two players that are restricted from engaging in a double team block. So they can't block the same player along with one of their teammates. The teammates that are in the setup zone, they are allowed to double team block, but not those two that are restricted.
So even if they're coming to clean it up, somebody's engaged, I come and help on the edge.
That's a double team block.
So that was a penalty. So your two guys who are your returners, that one guy who's blocking, doesn't have the ball, has to find an individual person to block.
Yeah,
you can't double team.
Yeah, you can't double team. Well, we've come a long way, and I know it's for player safety, from the old wedge. We had a five-man wedge, and then they started decreasing it, okay, 3 and 2. Now you can't double-team anyone. And then you used to have – this was kamikaze. This is a good thing, I think. But you had players just make the team because they come hell-bent for leather or wedge busters.
Yeah.
They were the one who blocked the Atlanta putt. Now I'm having the ALS.
Steve Gleason.
Steve Gleason would be kamikaze going out there and go and bust the wedge. You know, I've done guys just so they can't get a good return, so they can hit that hole and just being a wedge buster. But that's a good thing that they don't have that anymore. But that goes to show, no double team, no, it's going to be a penalty.
Right. That was a good question. I didn't know it was a penalty. Let's put it that way. You know, double team, blocking on the kickoff return. So take a break. Come back with our final block here on the Bullseye Saints Hour, brought to you by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. This is the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. A few more minutes left in tonight's show. My special thanks to the birthday boy, Bobby Hebert, celebrating. And for whatever reason, I don't know what's wrong with August 19th, you and Joan will celebrate some other time. Like, what's wrong with
that? Yeah, it could be like, after the game Saturday night, because we're going to get off of the point after.
We'll be done at 6 p.m.
Have
a nice dinner.
Also, I've never really... Not too many times I've celebrated my birthday on my birthday.
Because of football season.
Yeah, because the 2 days, it's always been training camp, either you're playing or covering it. And then you used to have when you're playing like 2 days, like real 2 days, it's like, man, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm trying to just rest and recover.
Right. So philosophically, we don't know a lot about how Kellen will treat Saturday. It's hard for me to say. We do know how Sean typically treated the final preseason game, and that's nobody.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Jarrett Stidman played a lot in their second game. I just don't think you're going to see a lot of their starters.
Yeah. Well, if you do see it, it'd be like one drive or one series.
I just don't know what you get out of it.
No, no, you don't, because
they're like, oh, I don't want to be rusty because you're off for 2 weeks. Not, does one series help you from being rusty?
No, you're not going to be rusty. And the one thing, you know what, you end up playing more than one series if you go 3 and out. Well, we can't go into the season like that.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I don't think they're probably not going to play. I know I always like to play because, I mean, you know, because it is live hits. You know, you think like you played all these years. Oh, I'm used to getting hit. You got to retrain your body every year because you know they don't tackle the quarterback in practice. They got these red jerseys and all. So when you go in the game, it's like, oh no, they're really tackling or they really hit. Now they don't let you really cream the quarterback. You can hit them, but you got to kind of lay them down and not land on them. But I know I always had to reprogram my brain every season. So I wanted to play in a preseason game.
To get used to that collision again.
To get hit. I never forget, my grandma passed away in 1989. I remember I was like, Coach Morris said, you want to play? I go, yeah, she'd have wanted me to play. I'm kind of feeling sorry for myself and all. I remember we were playing Washington. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of going through the I remember dropping back. I got the crap knocked out of me at the beginning on the first drive. And I said, man, those Redskins players don't care your grandma died. And I know my grandma said, come on, you got to step up. You know, it's for real.
Come on, Bobby.
And so I said, then it's on. So that's why you think, oh, you're used to getting hit. No, you're never used to getting hit. You just learned to live with it.
But there are position battles, whether it's for the team of the 53 and all that, that just haven't been settled on it. Maybe they have. I don't know.
No, they have some players fighting to make a team, and you're also playing for all the other teams. So right. Let's say a numbers game, you get cut by the Saints. Well, you might get picked up. So some of these players, I'm not saying it's their Super Bowl, but it's for their football life. So, you know, the Broncos game, it doesn't really count, but it counts for that individual. It could be the difference. Now, it's usually at the most a handful, but it's like two or three cats that are so close. No, whatever you've done for me lately, the last impression, it does make a difference.
Well, and if, let's say, I think both of them are going to play, meaning Tyler and Spencer, but if you weren't going to play those guys and like you've made it up in your mind and you got Jake, well, then you got to sign Hunter Deckers again. You can't just go with Jake. Or if you play those guys and go, Jake, it's hurt. Now you got to put them back in? You don't want to do that. Right? If you play you play them both a quarter. Now Jake comes in third quarter, gets hurt. Well, now what do you do? You got to have a fourth quarterback.
For this game. Yeah. Just because you don't want to have to put.
If you take on and go back in,
you don't want to do that.
Do you think that maybe we'll get an extended look again with Spencer and with Tyler?
I don't know because I guess you're going to maybe. I don't think you got your starting O line in there for three games. No, I don't know.
Exactly. I'm telling today in practice with the ones, Spencer Rattler took it. I wonder if Shuck, when we had the dome tomorrow, if he's going to take the first team reps.
We'll see. We'll see tomorrow at Caesars Superdome. Then, of course, the game on Saturday at Caesars Superdome. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, to Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, and to Steve Geller for helping me out tonight.
Who dat?
This has been the Bullseye Saints Hour, brought to you by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. Saints in Denver. Like, it's weird. Sean's coming to town. We didn't really talk about it much. A.T. Perry, Adam Trautman, Will Lutz. They just signed Adam, the fullback.
No, it's like Saints Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
Zach Strief, Coach Rizzi, the interim head coach. A lot of Saints connection there.
We will find out. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.